as I had used.
Hi again, my name is Pat, and I am a grateful believer in the Lord Jesus, and I am so grateful also to be on this meeting today. I'll read Psalm 63:1 says, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I thought about that first part, my God. I had underlined the words my God. And sometimes in the Old Testament, I can get kind of an inkling of where people are in terms of their spiritual walk by how they refer to God. Sometimes people talk about your God or the God, but they don't speak in terms of my God. And here, where David, who has written this psalm, he speaks of my God. And God often spoke of David as a man after my own heart, you know. And God, and David saw God as his God. And I have come to see God as my God as well. He is no longer a distant God, but he is a personal one who loves me. I am so grateful to have that understanding. He loves me. He cares about me. And until I got to that point of realizing that he cares for me so much that he wanted to live inside of me, and he did that. Once I accepted Jesus as my Savior and my Lord, his Spirit was placed in me. The Holy Spirit lives in me. And as I grow, both in contriteness, you know, sorrow for when I do sin, and humility, he comes closer and closer to me, in that I sense him more and more. He's already in me, but I can sense him more as I have that humble and contrite spirit. There's one of my memory verses is Isaiah 57:15. And it says, this is what the high and lofty one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. And it says, I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly of spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. That as I humble myself, the Lord actually exalts me. He lifts me up. And so I pray that I remember that. When I just said that I remember, I usually keep Christian radio in my car. And I know that there's one song, it says, the word says, I get down, but he lifts me up. I get down, he lifts me up, you know. And that's how life is. I live in a fallen world. And before I know it, sometimes my mind can just have me in places, like someone says, in bad neighborhoods, you know. And I get down, but he lifts me up. And so I'm grateful that he lifts me up, and I have come to understand that I can help that happen more and more by putting myself in his presence. In that psalm, it goes on to say, it says, O God, you are my God, and it says, earnestly I seek you. But one of the things that David says, he says, I earnestly seek you. And one of the Bible commentaries that I was looking at said that the word earnest can also be understood to mean early. And I find for myself that spending early time with the Lord, not waiting until it's an afterthought, was extremely important in my pursuing Jesus, getting to the point that I realized that I pursued him, and that as I pursue him, he actually is drawing closer to me. So I earnestly seek him. That is why over the years I have come to really make sure that I have my quiet time before I actually eat my first abstinent meal. And so that means, of course, as I have gone in these years of abstinence, that quiet time has changed. I've gone through babies and pregnancies and, you know, now having adult children. I was thinking about it yesterday because my baby has turned 20, and he was the one that my first abstinent pregnancy. I'd always wanted to be pregnant and just gained the amount that the doctor told me to. And he was the one that I was able to do that with, you know, and that was 20 years ago. And even though when I was pregnant or when I had little ones around me, that I found that I needed to still seek the Lord first. For every season of my life, the Lord equips me, and I need to be aware of that equipping. And so I need to put myself in a position where I can hear Him. In the 12-step rooms, I know they speak a lot about prayer and meditation. That's one of the steps in step 11, sort through prayer and meditation, to improve my, you know, conscious contact with God as I understand Him. And my prayer meditation is that, yeah, I pray, meaning that I pray in the name of Jesus, knowing that I have this right to approach the Lord because of the sacrifice that God gave through His Son. And I meditate by reading His Word. His Word is how I hear God speak to me. Meditation for me is hearing God, hearing His answers to my heart. And so that is why Bible study is so important to me. That is one of the main ways that I seek the Lord, through spending time in His Word, reading it and studying it and applying His Word every day. Near the end of that verse, it says, "Oh God, You are my God. How earnestly I seek You. Earnestly I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My body longs for You in a dry and weary land where there is no water." I thought about one time when my husband and I, when we were dating, we had gone on a hike, and we were in a dry place. I mean, it was so dry, I remember. And I don't even remember if we didn't have water. It seems to me, as I remember, we did not, when we ran out of water, we didn't have it. But I remember when we found water, and we found a well. And it was to be refreshed by water when you are so, so dry and thirsty. It's nothing like it. And I realized the same is true about the Lord, you know, that when I am refreshed by His Word, His Word is like that, you know, it is like, as the Bible says in Psalm 119, 103, 105, you know, it says, "Sweeter than honey to my taste." You know, that's how His Word is. It's very sweet. It's very satisfying to my body. And I'm very grateful. It's satisfying not only to my body, but to my soul, to my emotions, to everything. And I'm very grateful for that. But also, as I was thinking about that dry and thirsty land, it makes me think that sometimes in my life, there are times when I don't readily know what the Lord's will for me in a particular situation. I find myself in a waiting period. And what I do in that waiting, or what gets me through in that waiting, is to worship Him and to serve Him, to really put myself purposefully more in serving Him and worshiping Him. In fact, worshiping and serving, sometimes they're one and the same, you know, that as I serve Him with all my heart and to serve Him, with the understanding that I'm serving Him with the overflow of the love that He has poured into my life, it becomes a form of worship. And so I am so grateful for that. That reading just was such a reminder of what I was. Oh my goodness, I've shared this before, that food was just my life. I was so either consumed with eating food, planning a binge, or getting over a binge. That was always food, 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 food. In fact, I'm always directionally challenged, but I can tell you I can find those food places. And not only that, if somebody asks me directions, you know, how do you get to your house? You know, I can tell them landmarks, and the landmarks were always food-oriented, because that was what it was. It was always pursuing food. And I remember when I first started in recovery, people told me that, you know, Pat, Start putting as much effort into, recovery as you put into the food, Even if you gave it just a fractional, of the amount of time, you start seeing results. And they were true. They were absolutely true about that, because I knew without a shadow of a doubt, I knew how to pursue food. And so when I started to pursue God in the same way, I could see results for myself. I really could. And near the end of that reading, it says, I am finding that I must experience God for myself to know truly of his goodness. I must experience God through Jesus. And the way that I know Jesus, the way that I experience him, I come through his word. His word was how I understood first that I needed him. And once I accepted him, once I asked him to be my Savior and my Lord, I made that decision to do that, then his spirit was placed in me. And I need to say a point about that point of decision. I was talking to my neighbor the other day, and I was saying to her, I said, you know how, because we're both, she's my age, and we're both married, and I said, you know how in your life, at one point, you made that decision to get married. And I said, suppose you had just decided to live with each other. I said, if you had just decided to live with each other, you would have been doubting his love for you and your love for him and whether this was going to work out. But I said, at one point, you made that decision that he would be your husband and that you would, you would be devoted to him. And I said, the same thing had to be true for me in terms of Jesus. That I had to make that decision to follow him and to speak it with my mouth, to declare it with my mouth that this is true. And later on, I had to make a public declaration, just like people who have marriage ceremonies and they invite people. I had a believer's baptism. Even though my parents, in their zeal, they had me baptized as a child, as a baby actually, that was not a believer's baptism. Believers meant that I had to make that decision. I had to let people know that I identified with Jesus. He was mine. The Bible said Jesus went to Nicodemus and he said, unless a man is born again, he will not see the kingdom of God. And so once I came to the age of accountability, being able to make that understanding, I needed to make that decision. And I did. I made that decision and I don't regret it. And there is no doubt in my mind that Jesus is alive and well. And his spirit, the spirit of the living God, is living in my heart. I know it each and every day, definitely through my abstinence, but also as I read his word and he opens it up for me, as I pray and he loosens my tongue, he tells me exactly what I need to say. Even when I don't even know what I'm going to say, he says it for me, and I'm so grateful for him. I don't have to worry about it. And I learn more and more about Jesus, who was given to me so that I can have an understanding of God and so that I can, God the Father, and I can have an acceptance of the Spirit by reading and studying the Bible and applying the Bible. I read the Bible so that I can see the big picture. The big picture is what happened, man sinned, what is happening. Jesus came, or what happened also is that Jesus became the Messiah. He came here, but I accepted him too. I accepted him as the Messiah. And what's happening now is that he's teaching me how to walk in the Spirit day by day. And the Bible also, the big picture is what's going to happen, because this world is going to pass away. And so, and he has prepared a place for me. And so seeing that big picture helps me to live my life in peace, but also gets me moving to help the Lord. He wants me. He wants me. He doesn't need my help, But he wants my help, you know, and so I want to please him because he's done so much for me. And also studying his word helps me to know his commands, and hiding his word in my heart helps me in this battlefield, because the biggest battle is going to be in my mind. And so I need his word as a catalyst for me to grow and to be all that he meant for me to be and to fight these battles. And to apply his word by worshiping and serving him until he returns. But I'm going to stop here. I'm going to ask our shepherd if she could share with us right now. But Stephanie, could you share with us?